Good evening. Fancy meeting you on a Monday night like this. Thank you for tuning in, and you are listening to Dream Infringement, coming out on the airwaves to you from the Rogue Valley's esteemed, prestigious, premier community radio station, KSKQ. Dream Infringement is a little slice of local life radio show, the slice of life of three friends who test as idealists on the Myers-Briggs personality test. So that's Bobby, ENFP, and Emily, ENFJ Castillo, and me, Jennifer, XNFJ Woodside. I'm kind of an extrovert who identifies as an introvert because people make me tired. Anyhow, we tell stories, personal and anecdotal, force our family and friends to be interviewed for them, and we play songs to soundtrack our stories too, and basically have just a grand old time celebrating friendship, the community, pop culture, houseplants, and house cats. And today's show is a very, very special show. That's eight varies, because in a few days it will be our 8th year anniversary. Yes, our lovely voices first graced the airwaves in 2016, also on a leap year, so it's simultaneously our 8th and 2nd year anniversary, so that's special. Our first shows, we were assisted by Jason Houck and Holly Adams, who really taught us the ropes, and they both are still with KSKQ and a huge part of what keeps the station going, along with all the other show producers and board members that faithfully volunteer their time and resources, without which we would not be here. Perish the thought. 8 years is also the number of years that Miriam has been our biggest fan. Shout out to Miriam. And 8 years is roughly the amount of time it takes some strains of corpse flowers to bloom, which is always an exciting and odorous event. So we have that in common. And that's our theme. It's simply, eight is great. Celebrating all things eight. It made me feel vaguely like a Sesame Street show episode. Like, what's today's special letter and number? So in keeping with that theme, here is The Count from Sesame Street with his number 8 song. Take it away, Count.
Eight, eight, eight is great. You can hold it this way. You can hold it that way. It's still eight. Eight, eight is great.
Hey there, folks. Bobby here, accompanied by Emily. Or should I say Emily, accompanied by Bobby.
Either way is fine with me, as long as you say my name.
Yep. So we decided that we would talk a little bit about this wild ride that we have had called Dream Infringement. Yes, it's been 8 years, but it has felt like an eternity of wonderful, exciting, interesting, curious moments. I wish that we could do like one of those 90s sitcoms flashbacks. Like, we've had some awkward situations, and then we cut to like lots and lots of clips where we're all having awkward situations throughout the last 8 years. But one thing that is for sure that I will say is that I've enjoyed is the banter. The banter has been just like absolutely wonderful. And we didn't realize that that was the magic that was inside all of us when we started doing this show. Like, we were just really excited to play music and to share our stories. But something evolved out of all of us creating live radio together, because we started out not recording from home. And I would say for the last, 4 years, Emily? We've been recording from home. At the start of the pandemic, we kind of were forced to find another means to broadcast our show, to create our show. So it started to be this kind of situation where we're producing it from home. But we started out live, and it is through live radio messing with the toggles, cranking up the radio volume, turning it down, playing sound effects. Emily, me, Jennifer just like talking to each other and relating funny things and then reacting. That was the magic. And I miss that. And I know we're going to get back to it. We've become very comfortable with this whole producing from home. In fact, I'm right now currently at a 45 degree angle in bed.
Literally could not get any more comfortable than recording show from our bed.
Yes, and we could bring our blankets and pillows to the studio, but who wants that? You don't want to hear us that comfortable in a radio studio.
We got a real John and Yoko thing going right now.
We do. We're making art in bed. So yeah, so but the banter, that was really wonderful. And is there anything that you can speak to, Emily, that you found delightful about the last 8 years?
There's a lot of things that I found delightful. I think one of the things that I enjoy the most is when we have interviewed friends and family and we've gotten them in on the show. Like, that's always just a really special thing. I do still enjoy that from doing that from home and like having pre-recorded interviews and stuff. But the real magic was I feel like when we would bring them to the studio, because there's just nothing quite like it. So I do miss that. I'm looking forward to, you know, maybe getting back into that sometime in the future. That's been a real like highlight for me, is just getting to like amplify others' voices. And it's always interesting to me, the people who say like, oh, I could never do that. But then like we get them to do it and it's so cool. So that's been like a real joy, a real highlight for me, having a radio show.
Yeah. And one of the simplest things about having your own radio show is you're able to like play song requests and to be able to give that gift to others, to listeners, to friends, to just people who call in. That's always been such a happy thing, because I remember when I was on the other side, when the tables were turned and I was listening to a radio show and they'd open it up to callers making requests and they would play my request. And it's such a happy feeling. So to be able to give that gift to others, that's a wonderful thing. And Emily talked about amplifying others' voices, how important that is. One thing that's always been important for me is amplifying my own voice. And so I've had the opportunity to do that in a way through radio dramas. There was this awesome creative outpouring that happened when, not long into creating Dream Infringement, where I had all these like ideas and I started writing scripts for radio dramas that were like, you know, like inspired by, things in pop culture, like The Twilight Zone or Star Trek, things like that. And, one of the radio dramas that I am particularly proud of, and that Emily really contributed a lot of help with the production. She did all the editing, everything. It was just like, she was so awesome and patient with me through my creative process, which can sometimes be a little intense. But we made a radio drama, I think just a few months into the pandemic, producing from our home. And my son, our son, Weston, he was able to debut his acting voice, his like character voice, through this radio drama. And also my sister, Odessa, she does the intro and the conclusion voiceover. And it was so fun to make and just as fun to listen to. You probably can figure out what inspired this particular radio drama, but we're going to play it. Here is a rerun of a radio drama that we hold near and dear to our hearts, a creation made from our sweat, blood, and tears. Here is Arizona Smith and the Cave of Relics.
Our adventure begins deep within a jungle, somewhere in the world where there are jungles, where two adventurers search for something just as mysterious as it is amazing. Dream Infringement presents Arizona Smith and the Cave of Relics. Relics. Relics.
Gary, are you sure no one was following us?
Oh, yes, sir. Positive. There's no way anyone could have followed us. I've been covering up our tracks with banana leaves, the largest of jungle leaves.
Good, because the object we seek contains more power than you can imagine. If it were to fall into the wrong hands, why it would...
Well, I hope you find what you seek. I mean, most locals believe in the cave of things that are mysterious and therefore remains hidden to maintain the mystery is just a myth.
Gary, I've been researching the cave of things that are mysterious and therefore remains hidden to maintain the mystery for months. And according to the ancient manuscripts, the cave of things that are mysterious and therefore remains hidden to maintain the mystery is in these very jungles.
Well, you're the expert on the cave of things that are mysterious and therefore remains hidden to maintain the mystery.
Let's just agree to call it the cave.
Arizona, look! It's the cave of things that are a mystery. I mean, it's the cave.
So the legends are true. Stay close, Gary. These caves are likely riddled with traps that can kill us, or at the very least make our day a real bummer.
Got it. You know, Arizona, I always thought all caves had bats, but I was watching this PBS documentary once, and I learned that I couldn't be more wrong. You see, bats are actually very picky about where they choose to make their home.
Gary.
And you have to take into account what kind of bat is native to the environment.
Gary!
Oh, sorry.
Keep your wits about you, man. This is no stroll through the park. Whoa! Oh, no!
Ah! Arizona! Are you okay? I can't see you! What happened?
That stone! It dropped out from under me! Now I'm knee-deep in Skippy!
Skippy? You mean peanut butter?
That's about the long and short of it!
Well, can you try to climb out?
It's not that easy, Gary. I have arachobuterophobia.
What is that?
It's the fear of peanut butter getting stuck to the roof of your mouth and then suffocating you.
Oh, really?
It's a lot more common than you might think. Anyways, I can't move. I'm frozen with fear.
Toss me your whip and I'll pull you out.
Okay. It had to be the Skippy. It had to be the Skippy. Thanks, Gary. And can you keep that bit about the peanut butter under your hat?
Oh, totally, Arizona. And in light of this new development, you might want to skip lunch.
Why's that, Gary?
I made us PB&Js.
Gary, there it is. Just beyond that crop of fungi, in that cavern, is the relic. Stay close, Gary.
Arizona? I'm afraid I can't go any further.
Why? What's wrong?
Well, you're not the only one with an obscure phobia. I have mycophobia,
Fear of small things?
Nope. That would be microphobia. Oh. It's an honest mistake. And I have mycophobia, a fear of mushrooms.
Oh,
and
boy.
There at the entrance at that cavern is the reason I've avoided certain salads all my life. Mushrooms.
Well, you know, Gary, although this comes as a surprise, I respect your mental health and would never pressure you to do something that you are uncomfortable with. I honor your limitations.
Thank you, Arizona. Oh, and Arizona?
Yeah?
Be safe out there.
All right. Arizona, you've made it this far. Focus on the relic. It's all about the relic. Oh, there's an inscription. Let's see. To remove this relic from where it lies, what does a lasagna-loving feline despise? A lasagna-loving feline? What? What kind of a riddle is this? Hey, Gary, are you hearing this?
Yeah. What's wrong, Arizona?
It's a riddle. I can't get the relic until I solve the riddle.
Well, maybe I can help. Tell me the riddle.
Okay. It says, to remove this relic from where it lies, what does a lasagna-loving feline despise?
Despise?
You got anything, Gary?
Hang on. Okay, to remove this relic from where it lies, what does a lasagna-loving feline despise? Despise, orange feline, lasagna. I got it! It's Garfield, and he hates Mondays! The answer is Mondays!
Well, here goes nothing! Mondays. It worked! It worked! Gary, I could kiss you!
Not so fast, Arizona. I'd hold off on the celebratory smooches if I were you.
O'Connor, how'd you and your goons find me?
Banana leaves gingerly placed on a jungle path. Ha! Might as well roll out the red carpet for me.
What's the matter? Running out of money from selling the last relic you ripped off of me?
Coastal mansions and fast cars just don't cost what they used to. And one does get used to the lifestyle. The relic you have there in that sack should be worth a pretty penny. Now, don't make this difficult, Arizona. Hand over the sack and nobody gets hurt.
You're going to regret this, O'Connor. That relic belongs in a museum. Not in some rich yuppie's white-carpeted living room. Why, if it was to fall into the wrong hands, the repercussions would be catastrophic.
Valuable and powerful. I like that combination. Now let's see what all the fuss is about. Wait, what? What kind of a joke is this, Arizona?
What's the matter, O'Connor? Don't you know a relic when you see one?
Relic? This is a concert ticket stub from 2003 for the Dave Matthews Band.
Read a dictionary much? A relic can be an object surviving from an earlier time, especially one of historical or sentimental interest.
What?
There's a millennial in Florida right now that is gonna be pretty happy to see the ticket stub from her first concert, and I'm not gonna let you take that from her. Now, Gary!
Aye, aye, Captain.
Have fun finding a dry cleaner that can get peanut butter out of silk.
I'll get you for this, Arizona!
Will our heroes ever get those ticket stubs to that 30-something in Florida? And if they do, are they also going to hit those famous Floridian beaches? Find out next time Bobby is compelled to write a last-minute radio drama in the adventures of Arizona Smith.
If this was a wedding anniversary, 8 years would mean bronze and pottery. And I wondered, who made this custom? Why do we follow this custom? And historically, they think that giving anniversary gifts dates back to either ancient Rome or medieval Germany, but it's a little hard to trace. During the Middle Ages, anniversary gifts were thought to be items that would bring the couple luck. And when they first originated, there weren't gifts for every year like now. Consumerism. It started with an assigned gift being given the 1st, 5th, 10th, 25th, 50th, and 75th anniversary. And these gifts were made from paper, wood, tin, silver, gold, and diamond, respectively. Of course, they put the most valuable one at the end. During the Middle Ages, if you were a boy who survived to the age of 20, you might hope to live 25 more years. For a woman who survived to the age of 20, she had about 17 more years in her. Anybody who miraculously survived to the age of 40 had a good chance to making it to 55 or 60 years old. So getting to a 75th wedding anniversary, I don't even know if anybody achieved that, but maybe some people lived out of spite. Like, I will get my diamonds. I'm going to survive and you're going to survive because we are getting diamonds. Maybe it's good incentive. But it wasn't until the 20th century that this very extensive list was created based on the number of years that you and your partner have been married, with the idea that every year of marriage grows and strengthens your relationship. Therefore, the gifts become technically stronger after you've been married longer. That's why the first anniversary is paper, second, cotton, third, leather, fourth, fruits or flowers, fifth, wood. To me, I feel like fruits or flowers, they should be the first year. I wasn't in charge of the list, though. Looking at this list, I'm thinking, I haven't been married, but I have lived alone for a long time. And I don't know exactly what I'd want for like a personal or romantic gift from my partner, but there are community household gifts that I think should be updated that would be much more practical than paper or cotton or bronze or pottery. Like at some point, all the nice new sheet sets and towels begin to reach kind of some threadbare points. So definitely new linens and maybe new curtains. And there should be an anniversary of really, really good sharp kitchen knives. Separate summer and winter tires, always good. Small appliances like an expensive blender with a violent name, you know, like the Ninja or the Bullet. Maybe once you have a family and you need to buy in bulk, a gift could be a Costco membership or a year of the streaming service of your choice. Those things would be much more useful to me and I would feel a lot more excited about. I realize some people like the concept of having a list because it is a guideline and they don't have to try and come up with something that the couple may or may not like. If the couple doesn't like it and you're going by the list, you just blame the list. Like, it takes some of the pressure off. But for us, dream infringement on our 8th anniversary, we really just want the gift of your listenership. I mean, that's all we could really ask for and all we really want. So here's to 8 years and many more to come. I'm going to play the song Legal Man by Belle and Sebastian. This song used to start every show that we played back when we first started out. And so I thought it would be fun to revisit it, a little bit nostalgic. Plus, it's a really good song. So this is, again, Belle and Sebastian with Legal Man. Don't be legal, it's coming, oh, it's coming back.
Hey, Bobby, would you care to take a walk with me?
Hang on, let me put my shoes on.
No, you don't need to do that. It's a walk down memory lane, a metaphorical walk.
I think I should probably still wear shoes, just in case.
You are wearing shoes already. I can see them on your feet right now.
Is that against the law to wear shoes in bed?
Yes. Bobby loves to wear shoes around the house.
Then lock me up.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's walk down memory lane. I was thinking about, we had a lot of firsts with the having a radio show. And one that comes to mind is our first pledge drive, which was also when we had our first guest that we interviewed, which was also the first time we had some of our friends pop into the station. Well, first and last, I don't think we ever had anyone like pop into the station again. But what was funny, not at the time so much, at the time it was very stressful, but it's funny in hindsight, we didn't know that it was a pledge drive. Somehow, like, we were not on the email list yet because we were so new. We didn't get the memo that it was a pledge drive, and so we got a couple phone calls like, are you guys gonna say the phone number? And we're like, why would we say the phone number? Oh, because it's the pledge drive. So yeah, ever since then, I feel like we have really made it our mission to compensate, some might say overcompensate, for that first pledge drive where we like had no idea what was going on. And so one of the things that I look forward to is our pledge drive episodes, because we always try to bring something really fun and creative and interesting and engaging to the table. So is there anything you'd like to say about that, Bobby?
Examples of ways that we've brought something interesting to the table on pledge drives: radio dramas, space operas, special interviews with local celebrities, interviews with fake celebrities where we impersonate them. What else, Emily?
We recently had our kids do a pledge drive takeover. That was really cute.
I ate a jalapeno on live radio, and it really burned my mouth, and you all got to hear it.
That's right. One year, we brought bags of Nifty Gifties for the first, I can't remember, two or three callers, and they were full of gifts that had something to do with some of our episodes. So that was fun. Basically, we just like throw all of our creative juices at it. That sounds, Bobby's usually the one that makes disgusting metaphors.
You make me proud, Emily. You make me real proud. Yeah, we really threw our creative juices at all of you every pledge drive. And we'll continue to do that. It is not something that's going to lighten up. It'll only get heavier. And so just so you're prepared for that, we have a spring pledge drive coming up at some point. Spring is just around the corner. And in my opinion, spring doesn't officially start until KSKQ has their spring pledge drive. So listen out for that. Radio listeners, you're in for a real treat. We all collectively at KSKQ bring the heat when it comes to pledge drives. So start warming up your old wallet.
Another thing I miss about being in the studio physically is just like the contact with listeners, because every once in a while, every once in a while we would have someone call in and like request a song or tell us a story that one of our stories made them think of. One time we had a really upset listener. They were upset with Bobby because he provoked too much emotion. He told a story about how his dog died, and it was just very emotional for this listener. They were angry and they called in, but it was interesting because Bobby provoked that emotion in someone. Maybe that was like, you know, they needed to work through something. So I do miss the rush of the phone ringing and just not knowing who's going to be on the other end. If you would like to give us a rush, you can email us now. We're at dreaminfringement@gmail.com, or you can message us on Instagram or Facebook. I mean, you could call and leave a voice message for us too. And really, like, if you love it, if you hate it, whatever, like, it's awesome to hear from the listeners, regardless of their opinion on what we have to say.
If you hate it, I would suggest keeping it to yourself or yelling it into an empty alley. That would be fine with me. Only nice things, please. I can't take the negative. There's too much negative already in this world. Keep it fresh. Keep it positive.
That's true. I agree with Bobby. I do prefer positive messages, but I feel like I've had enough therapy, and my supplements that I'm taking are doing a pretty good job. I think I could handle it at this point in my life. Maybe. I say that now. Maybe I'm fragile. No, now I'm scared. Only say nice things. I take it back.
Yeah, we've really had a pretty fun time doing this thing, this radio show. We're going to play a song, and it's going to be a really good one. And it's going to be by, let's see off the top of my head, it's going to be by Beastie Boys. And that song is going to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Enjoy.
So when I was perusing ye old internet for things that had to do with the number 8, I found out that it's a super significant number in Chinese culture. And I was reading how far some people were willing to go to really incorporate the number 8 into their lifestyle. And that's due to its association with wealth and luck. Gifts are known to be given in even numbers, never 4, 4 is bad, for the celebration of all occasions. The number 8 in Chinese phonetically looks like ba, and the character, it says, sounds similar to the word fa, which means to make a fortune. It contains meanings of prosperity, success, and high social status. When the Olympics were held in Beijing in 2008, the opening ceremony took place on August 8th, 2008, at 8:08 and 8 seconds. A telephone number with all the digits being 8 was sold for 2.33 million yen, which seems to be about $320,000 in US dollars, to Sichuan Airlines in Chengdu, China. Singapore Airlines and Sri Lankan Airlines both reserve flight numbers beginning with the number 8 to routes in China. In 2014, two number plates with 8888 were sold for 12 million yen, which seems to be over a million, and another one sold for 17.2 million yen. Might be about 2 million. I was having a hard time with the dollar to yen exchange on this one. All of that for your license plate. If you go to buy an apartment, residences on the 8th floor of buildings will be among the first to be sold out. Other addresses with the number 8 are favored by people as well, and you might expect to pay more for some 8s in your address. And they feel that people who are associated with the lucky number 8 are strong and go after their goals. They're good at leading and making money. It makes me wonder if everyone keeps trying to have their babies in August. Like, induce me, I'm not having a September baby. But surprisingly, when I looked it up, they're saying that in China, the peak month for births is November. 37% of all the births happened from August to November. So some of them did happen in August, but they overshot the mark. November, that was a surprising statistic that I was not expecting, actually. So we'll see how our pledge drives do for this spring and this fall, and report back to you on if anniversary number 8 was full of wealth and prosperity for us. By the way, yeah, we have a pledge drive that'll be coming up in spring, and we are already using our little brains, concocting an interesting show. We always like to bring it for the pledge drive if we can. The song that I picked is by Daft Punk, and it is called Get Lucky.
Like the legend of the phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
All right, so we have arrived at that time in the show where we have to say goodbye. I know, it's a sad time, but let's not prolong the inevitable. Let's not draw out the goodbye. It's pure torture, I know. Oh, you're still here. You're still listening? Okay. Since you're still listening, I just want to express to you how grateful we all are here at Dream Infringement that you keep listening, that you tune in every week on Monday evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. and probably tune in a little bit after that and a little bit before that. Thank you for sticking with us for the last 8 years. And here's to another 8 years. Who's to know in 16 years what our show will even have evolved into or devolved into? Whatever the case may be, we just want to wholeheartedly express our love and gratitude for lending us your ears. So, with that said, we have a song. And Emily has been searching fervently in her electronic device for the right song to play this show out with. She spent a lot of time looking for it, and I know it will be rewarding. I know it will be worth it, all the time that she put into finding this song. So Emily, do you want to introduce our last song for the show?
I do. Okay. This is our last song for this episode. Are you ready?
I'm not ready, but you need to do this.
It's called Just in Love with You by the Delondes and Cameron Snyder. Enjoy!
I bet that was the last thing you would have guessed.
I'm just in love with you.